begin, or this evening we begin, the season of Lent, a 40-day period of preparation for the Feast of Easter. We have a tradition that goes back almost to the origins of our church, that we observe this day that we call Ash Wednesday, and we have a practice or a tradition of taking a phrase from the burial liturgy at the end of life and use it for a recognition of our present reality while we are still living. We hear the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." The longer quote comes from God speaking to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden following their original disobedience, when God said, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." In our modern understandings, we've come to a recognition of dust in a way that was probably little imagined before. Our bodies, and more than that, the whole earth, and in fact every element higher than hydrogen in the periodic table, is stardust. It's even more amazing to ponder that stardust is a mere 1/100th of a percent of the known density of the whole universe. Stardust is not just refuse. It has come into existence through an unimaginable process going on for billions and billions of years in the other 99.99% of the universe. So the dust of which we are made is the rarest material. We could say it's the very top of the evolutionary chain in the universe. Literally, we are more valuable, more precious than gold. That recognition of our preciousness is declared in the baptismal liturgy when the priest anoints the person's forehead with oil and says, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." So we have these two paradoxical images side by side describing who we are in today's liturgy. On the one side is the image of dust, and the other, the image of life that we receive in the body of Christ at communion. The combination of these two paradoxical images have something profound to teach us about who we are. We are both dust and life. We are being asked today not to fear the dust, not to fear our death, not to fear the disillusion of our bodies, or even all of our hard-won, cherished accomplishments. All of these are temporary, and if we imagine that they are permanent, we will only become neurotic. We come to the full and eternal life promised in baptism as we go to the reality of the complete offering of ourselves. And that's the necessary door through which we must pass to inherit with Christ the gift of eternal life. It seems like a completely irrational paradox, but it becomes very practical in our day-to-day living. We could say, actually, it's a practice for a pathway that we lead day by day, year by year, all our life. It's the practice we call of letting go, or as some people have said, let go and let God. We are invited tonight to take the symbol of ashes that we offer in this service as a metaphor or a practice to do for ourselves every day. And to do that, we envision two piles of ashes. One pile is that of our hurts. What is it about our lives that has been taken away from us by others without our consent? Our hurts? What unkind words and deeds have we absorbed? Power plays? Withdrawals of friendship or recognition or support? That's one pile. The other pile is made of those things that have a special recognition or special significance for us. things that we could offer up to God for transformation and renewal. Maybe there are things that once had meaning and value, but their day is past and they're ready for burning. There are parts of our lives that we cling to so tightly. If only they could be surrendered in their present form to the flames of the Holy Spirit, they could be transformed into something vital for ourselves and for the glory of God. So take a little material from each pile and offer it to God and ask God's fire to consume it. Offer it up totally, completely, so that only the residue of ash remains. Then mark it over your forehead as a blazing cross. It's a reminder that whatever has not died cannot be raised. Whatever not surrendered cannot be given anew. On this day, we see that even regression, dissolution, and disintegration may serve the holy purposes of God. And I'd like to share with you a poem that I discovered just today, written by Jan Richardson. She writes, "So let us be marked, not for sorrow, and let us be marked, not for shame. Let us be marked, not for false humility, or for thinking we are less than we are, but for claiming what God can do within the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which this world is made, and the stars that blaze in our bones, and the galaxies that spiral inside the smudge we bear."